This time of year, a lot of Christmas specials, if you watch them, whether they're the old black and white ones or even the more revisited Hallmark romances where you only get kissed if it's snowing, there's this theme that goes out that we see often of it, and it is the longing of the American soldier. It's the longing of the man or the woman, the mother, father, husband, wife that's deployed, you know, overseas. We have people in our congregation that will be FaceTiming with their soldier, their dad, their husband, their mom, their sister across, you know, the ocean. And we always, you know, we connect with that, what it's like to long to be home with family at Christmas. We celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus, but the context of that celebration is always, we long for it to be wrapped in family. We long for it to be wrapped in the family of what it means to be in a church. That's why so many of us come on Christmas and Easter, because it's just the context of it demands it. Well, I want to introduce you today not to a soldier, but I want to introduce you to what I believe is an illustration that befits a man who could have been a soldier, particularly a point man, a man who walks in front of others and watches. The guy or the gal that stands with by themselves in the middle of the night, watching for an enemy advance, watching for anything, noise or movement of an enemy coming up, approaching. I don't know what it's like to stand a post. I don't know what it's like to wait over hours, longing for the sun to rise, so that what is hidden can be revealed. But there's a man in the Bible that does, and his name is Simeon. And so if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2 again, where we have been. And we're going to look at this man by the name of Simeon. Now, this is after the birth of Jesus, some 6 weeks. My colleague over here, Becca Adams, just rendered an incredible reading of the Christmas story. So now we want to fast forward just a little bit. And I got a purpose. There's a point to this, a reason for this, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But Jesus is a 6-week-old, still a little infant at this time. And his mother and father have gone from Bethlehem, where he is born, 5 miles, you know, across the valley, up to Jerusalem, where they will present him to the temple. There were 3 ceremonies in Judaism that every male child in particular had to go through. On the 8th day, after he was born, he was circumcised. And then sometime after that, he was carried to Jerusalem, in this case, 6 weeks, up to Jerusalem to be presented or dedicated as the law required, to the Lord. The firstborn would be dedicated to the Lord. And then because of, you know, just the issue of birth, where blood is involved, you have to go through a purification ceremony. So these last 2 ceremonies, Jesus would have been a part of here in Jerusalem, right there at the temple. And that's where we find this guy by the name of Simeon. Let's meet Simeon today. In verse 25, the text says, at that time, this time of the purification and presentation of Jesus, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man. He was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and it revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." This is the reading of God's word. And what I want you to do with it this morning, those of you that have been with us, particularly over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the beginning of God's plan for redemption, the beginning of God's deliverance for the world. It comes in Genesis chapter 3:15, where it says, "I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." Right here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when the man and woman have sinned in the garden, a curse is put upon them, and each will bear a consequence for that. And the ground is also cursed. The serpent, who Satan used to tempt, you know, figuratively, you got this real beast in the garden there taking on the punishment that we still see today. A snake crawls on his belly. Right? Because God placed upon him the curse that would come because of his rebellion, of his treachery. He lied to the couple. He tempted them. They were tempted to be like God, which they already were. And Satan deceives them into thinking they can be more in their own independence. And so a rebellion was wrought right there in the garden. And as a result of the rebellion, sin entered the world. As a result of sin, the consequence of death entered the picture. But right here in the text, you see, God has a plan for deliverance. God has a plan for salvation. He will strike your head, which is a mortal wound, even though you will strike his heel. And we saw that in the text. God has this plan for deliverance. But he also has been throughout all of Scripture, from Genesis to Malachi in the Old Testament. He's been pointing toward the one who would come to bring about this deliverance. But before that happens, we looked last week at John the Baptist. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, the prophecy of John the Baptist is here. "Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." Isaiah tells us that he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Jesus affirms that John the Baptist is the one who came to do just this. When John the Baptist fulfills his role, according to this prophecy in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, then the Lord, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the one that you're looking for, notice that, will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you look for so eagerly is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's army. What you see here in Simeon's song, look back there at that song with me again just one more time. It says here in the text, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation." The very promises of God we see in Simeon's song and the very fulfillment of the salvation that would come in the person of the Messiah. Malachi chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, or Malachi chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, the culmination of those two effects. At the beginning of the Old Testament, did you see it? And at the end of the Old Testament, God brings to its fulfillment in this expression of the promises of God through the deliverance that will come through the Messiah. Simeon's song is that expression, y'all. Simeon's song expresses the fulfillment of what God has promised in Genesis 3:15 for the deliverance that we see coming in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. It is no accident that Luke tells us that on this day, Simeon is directed to go to the temple. For it is there. Notice he says, "I have seen your salvation." He hasn't seen what Jesus is going to do. All he sees is a six-week-old infant. But in his song, the personification, y'all, of our salvation will be brought forth in this person that is named Jesus. And even as a baby, Simeon is allowed the privilege of recognizing this. Notice what he says in a personal way to Mary, particularly after he finishes this song. He says, "Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, 'This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your very soul.'" Speaking to how the salvation, how Jesus will work, how Jesus will grow and work for our salvation in his ministry. He came and he lived. We look back on his birth. We look back on his life. We look back on his sacrifice as he went to the cross to die for our sins, that the curse of death might be overthrown. How do we know that it was overthrown? Because Jesus was raised again on the third day. And then 40 days later, he ascends to the Father. So in his birth, in his life, in his sacrifice, in his resurrection, and in his ascension, you and I are able to look back on everything that they were looking for. But there's a challenge here in this text for us this morning, and that is this, is that when he comes, we will truly have our hearts exposed. To deal with Jesus is to truly deal with the deepest inner longings of your soul. Jesus, if you consider him at all, will lift those things in your life that are most true. I've never walked a post. I've never been a point man. I don't know what it's like to look out for others in a way that a soldier does. But Simeon shows us what it looks like to do just that. But be alert. Be ready. Because if you say you're waiting for him and you're looking for him this Christmas, then the deepest ways that you feel about God will certainly be brought to the surface. And you will receive a question at Christmas every time you celebrate it. What are you going to do with this child? What are you going to do with Jesus? I can promise you, he is the one your soul is longing most to meet. But will you? Will you truly let him have his way in your life? And will you receive him as he truly is? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are in history between the two comings of our Savior. We have the privilege to be on this side of the gospel. We look back upon everything they were looking for. And yet, Lord, we are charged to engage the Lord Jesus in the same way they were. To receive him or reject him. To believe him or deny him. To receive him and trust him, or to walk away from him and keep our independence, to make life work independently of anything that really has anything to do with you. And yet, Lord, if this story is true, you have claim upon our lives. And so may we, on this side of the gospel, on this side of the birth of Jesus, may we with understanding receive him as he is and now take our place upon that wall and watch for his return. May we believe the way Simeon believed, that Christ will come, and having come, he will come again. Have your way with us this morning, Lord, I pray. Amen and amen.